Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Under the Radar.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3, and it's now time for Under the Radar with me, Chua Tian Tian. Now, today we're going to talk about a digital bank that is backed by two of Singapore's technology and telecommunications powerhouses, Grab and Singtel. Now, you might have guessed by now that we're talking about GXS Bank. Launched in 2022, GXS was positioned to address the pain points of Singapore's underserved consumers and businesses, such as gig economy workers, self-employed entrepreneurs and early jobbers in meeting their saving goals. Now, GXS said this was done through its product offerings, such as daily interest crediting, which was new to the industry at the time. Now, the bank started out 2 years ago by targeting users across the Grab and Singtel ecosystem, which rounded up to a potential market of about 3 million customers here in Singapore. Its products, like the flagship savings account, were only limited to selected Grab and Singtel customers with a deposit cap of $5,000 due to regulatory reasons. Now, the product, however, was opened up to new customers in July last year, and the cap was also raised after a review by authorities. So how far has that bolstered GXS Bank's customer acquisition and leveled the playing field between digital banks and traditional players? And also, how far has its positioning reaped financial benefits? Well, meanwhile, Grab had in January this year injected $145.1 million into GXS Bank. Both Grab and Singtel are also set to put in a further $229.5 million into the digital bank in Q3 this year. But really, what were the reasons behind the move, and how does GXS Bank intend to use the money? Well, for more, I've got with me in the studio Muthu Krishnan Ramaswamy, or Ramu, Group Chief Executive Officer at GXS Bank. Well, Ramu, welcome.
Thank you, Tintin. Thank you for having me on your show.
Great to have you on board. And Ramu, we've briefly talked about GXS Bank as this digital bank backed by Grab and Singtel, and it is positioned to cater to underserved consumer segments like your gig economy workers, self-employed entrepreneurs, early jobbers, as well as small businesses. So let's hear from you. How would you describe the bank's value proposition and business model?
GXS Bank is a digital native and a completely digital bank. It's the only two of its kind in Singapore that are licensed. And we serve both consumers and small businesses. And our objective is to bring banking in its simplest form to what I would call the underserved segments of the market. The underserved segments of the market really are people who don't earn enough on their savings because they don't have access to the right savings products or the savings accounts, and or people who are, you know, in not getting a loan from a financial institution today because they don't have either a steady salary or enough credit data on them. So we bank these people and we extend banking to them. And by doing that, we think that we'll make a big difference to financial inclusion as well as financial literacy.
Right. And so let's zoom in on your positioning, right, Ramu? Aimed at serving underserved consumer segments who are perhaps cash-strapped as well or not earning enough on their current deposits. So what products and services do they need? How is that fulfilled through a GXS, say, through your daily interest crediting? How does that put you in a competitive advantage against your industry peers?
So at the outset, I would say the underserved does not mean cash-strapped or it's really people who have savings, let's say $25,000. And when you put that in a big bank, you really earn almost nothing on interest. And to be able to access, you know, earnings on the savings that you have, most banks require a much larger amount to be deposited with them, or maybe your salary to be credited to the bank every month. So many conditions, and many cannot meet that. So our objective is to first give them what I would call a decent return on their money and do it on a daily basis so that they can actually see their money grow. And that, you know, in turn generates a savings habit. So the way we would first think of our underserved, and that's how we launched first with a deposit product, is to enable daily interest earnings on small savings for a large number of people. So that's how we started with a small account, you know, cap on our account, and then we expanded that. So from there, we then have gone on to, you know, making loans. And making loans, again, is not to people who are cash-strapped necessarily, but it is for people who need, a certain quantum of money, which they can afford to repay over a period of time, but they need it in one lump sum. So that's really what our say our flexi loan business is about. And we have now over 100,000 loans disbursed. And we are seeing that people who are traditionally underserved by the banks are a very good, credit-worthy customers. And we really think about our ecosystem because these are the people we know well because of the data that we have on them. And the big banks have access to, let's say, the credit bureau. And a lot of these people don't yet have a credit record. But they do transactions on a daily basis with either Grab or with Singtel. And we have, therefore, a good knowledge of what they do in terms of their own transactions on a daily basis. And that's how we make credit decisions, which are good for people who are new to borrowing or new to what I would call the credit ladder.
Right. So in terms of pricing, right, for this group of underserved customers, do you price a premium in any case of a bad loan, or do you just go by, you know, whatever rates that the market is giving up? And if so, is it compressing your net interest margins?
The way we price a loan is really its creditworthiness as well as the quantum of loan that you borrow. So, so the better your creditworthiness, which is if we have a lot of data about you and we have confidence that you have the ability to service that loan, then you would get a better rate. And what we try to do is offer smaller loans to people who are new to credit so that they can build up a credit history and you can predict their behavior over time. So it's not purely just interest rates that are the control factor. It's also the quantum of loans so that you're not stretched and you're not borrowing too much. And therefore, we pay attention to both quantum of loans as well as interest rates.
Right. But that being said, it does seem like you're targeting, even though the quantum is small, which diversifies risk, but you're targeting many people with similar risk profile, right? Similar profile.
We have a very good mix of customers. So that's kind of why we, like I said, we serve both small businesses and, you know, consumers who are in the underserved segment. And the small businesses are, you know, really the engine of an economy. They have what I would call everyday cash needs, and yet they're all cash accretive. They generate good returns for their owners. So they are, again, borrowers from us, and they borrow in the larger end of our loan quantums.
Yeah. Okay.
So both these together provide us a good mix.
Right. Earlier, you talked about starting with the Grab and Singtel ecosystem, which rounded up to a potential market of around 3 million customers here in Singapore. But that being said, as the bank, as GXS Bank, expands further, right, its customer base, it has to go out of that Singtel and Grab ecosystem. How far would that increase your cost of background checks and customer acquisition, given that traditional banks are not doing so because it's not worthwhile for them to do so?
So ecosystems are all interconnected. And the way we would expand our business is from going from one ecosystem to the next. So if you take an example, Singtel, as one of our owners, has over 100,000 small businesses that are suppliers to Singtel. They supply services from wiring services to setting up wireless networks, all kinds of things that they do for Singtel, where Singtel pays them for those services. Now, because their income is from Singtel, we have access to data that shows us how much they're earning. So again, if you think of that, each one of those suppliers in turn have other suppliers they use. So again, you know, it is a chain, and that's kind of why it's called an ecosystem. And it's linked, and we go first from our two promoters because they are big and they are well entwined. They have over 3 million customers. And from there will spring multiple smaller ecosystems. And
I
so
see.
That is how we grow. We don't grow by advertising hugely and getting a whole lot of, you know, unknown applicants into us, but we go through connected ecosystems where we get data about someone first. We know them almost better than they know themselves. So that's our, that's our what I would call biggest advantage that we have. It's all about data, and it's about how we use it.
So we're really going layer by layer.
That is correct. It's
spreading
step at
out.
A time, and we are not in a rush, and we will build steadily forward.
Okay, let's talk about recent developments surrounding GXS Bank Aramu. The firm had in July opened up its savings account to the public after previously offering it on an invite-only basis. Limit for deposits were also raised from 5,000 Sing dollars per account to the new 75,000 Sing dollars threshold. Tell us more about how that has reshaped your growth trajectory in terms of user acquisition, given that you are going the slow and steady route.
So the way we go about the slow and steady route is that we first had a limit of 50 million to prove that our systems worked well, our services worked well. then we set ourselves an internal limit. We said we now need to grow from here, and that's how we raised our limit from 5,000 to 75,000. And amazingly, the number of underserved customers in Singapore is quite huge. So we filled up our quota that we thought we were wanting to build to very quickly. So we again had to kind of stop customer acquisition. We now have a wait list of over 50,000 customers who are waiting to open an account with us. And similarly, in Malaysia, when we opened up, we learned lessons from Singapore. So we again set a small limit and we opened up. And there we have, you know, over 200,000 customers within the first 2 months of launch. And, you know, we have over 500 million in deposits in Malaysia as well. So the way to think about this is, you know, you build a step, you stabilize at that level, then you go the next way. So we, in Singapore, we went into making loans after we started our initial deposit accounts. And today we've done over 100,000 loans. We are now ready to get to the next stage of growth. And probably in the next month or two, you will see us again acquiring customers, both for deposits as well as loans.
I think that the increase in the deposit threshold was also in line with moves by the regulator's side, right?
You know, there's what I would call a risk appetite, which is partly what our, you know, what I would call our board is willing to take. You know, you have a risk committee. We are very careful about balancing the assets and liabilities in a bank. And therefore, we kind of always look to grow in a balanced fashion. You don't want a bank which has only all deposits or only all loans. So the key to running a bank is kind of balancing the two ends. So that's kind of how we stop deposit growth so that we would get our feet into the loans as well. And now we kind of are comfortable that we are able to grow both. And that's how we will launch in the next couple of months on both these services. And we follow very similar processes if you look at us in Malaysia as well as in Indonesia.
How far do you think that has leveled the playing field for players like GSS banks versus traditional banks or even digital banks that are, so to speak, riding on the licenses of traditional banks?
You know, the SDIC limits that have been raised from 75,000 to 100,000 has really more to do with keeping up with international norms rather than anything domestic. So I think the deposits in Singapore are now insured to similar levels as they are in other developed countries. And for us, it allows us to take deposits of up to $100,000. But we ourselves are still limiting our deposits to 75,000. And like I said, it is not really about regulatory limits. It's about our own risk appetite. And we will ultimately grow to 100,000, but not yet. We'll do that when we are ready for that.
So just for our listeners, the SDIC refers to the Singapore Deposit Insurance Corporation. And it also means that from the 1st of April, insurance coverage on Singapore dollar denominated deposits with retail banks and finance companies will be raised from $75,000 Sing dollars to $100,000 Sing dollars, just to provide some context here. Now, Ramu, let's talk about what happened shortly after the move to raise the deposit limit. You guys, I believe, dropped the interest rate on your flagship savings account to be similar to your digital peers like Mary Bank and Trust Bank. I think the rate was lowered by 0.8 percentage points from 3.48% to 2.68% per annum. What was the rationale to the move? How sensitive are your customers to interest rates on savings account, given your industry positioning?
You know, the way we look at a bank which is new is that you learn through every step that you take and the data that you then analyze. So at an interest rate which is very high compared to the rest of the market, what you will find is that you have a lot of inflow into your bank in terms of deposits. And what we want to avoid is an inflow of what I'd call hot money. And the money can equally flow out very quickly if someone else raises their interest rates. Therefore, what we are looking to do is cultivate a customer base that is stable over time and is committed to us because of the rest of the services we offer rather than only the interest rate.
Right.
Therefore, we will, in the long run, offer interest rates that are competitive, that are good for our customers, but not necessarily the highest in the market or something that is much higher than anyone else. So interest rates would be among the best, and we would serve what I'd call our underserved customers and give them access to earning on their on their deposits.
So you're also testing to see what works, what doesn't, how much of your deposits are hot money right now.
That is correct. And we would continue to do that. So we would always have various programs that we will run. And, you know, when you start, you're not going to run 10 programs concurrently. So it looks like, oh, we changed our interest rate. But we will soon have the ability to get different interest rates in different pockets of money that you can hold with GXS. And these are all exciting things for everyone to use. And so more about this as you will see us roll out our new deposit products.
Right. Don't mind me asking this to just trying my luck over here, Ramu. UOB is cutting rates on the flagship or its flagship savings account, the UOB One account, citing that it expects falling rates over the long term. Now, I know we all work by, you know, rate margins between the short term and the long term. So your thoughts, are you going to follow suit? And how do you intend to increase the stickiness of your customers in the longer term as well?
You know, first and foremost, our scale is entirely different than any of the large banks, particularly the three large local banks.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, we are taking baby steps. And our interest rates and what we earn on that money overnight and where we place it, our margins are adequate for our current ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we will follow interest rate trends in the long run, in the sense that if the overnight interest rate or if the Sing dollar interest rate played by the central bank goes down over time, surely the interest rate on the savings accounts will as well go down.
Yeah.
You know, we can't buck that trend. But among that, we will be among the best.
Mm, that's the perhaps expected Fed rate cuts worry you.
It doesn't worry me, because what happens is when the rates are cut, what would happen is it stimulates borrowing. It stimulates growth in the economy. So if you look at the rationale for interest rates cut, it's all about stimulating growth.
Yeah.
So then in a growing economy, we should do well.
Yeah.
And so the way I see it is that we are well positioned to serve everyone because our cost of acquisition and our cost of service are lower than traditional banks because we don't have a branch network.
So earning on both ends.
That is correct. And it's entirely digital. So our costs are lower. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of our and the data we have is much more powerful. Those are the two advantages we have.
Hmm. Don't mind me asking this. You talked about data quite a number of times. Does that mean more red tape for you, actually, given the amount of data you access?
No, it doesn't mean more red tape. What it means is that we need to be very careful with how we use data. We need to be aware of what we are using the data for. We need to make sure our consumers know that we are using the data. So all those, being digitally native and being starting from scratch, we are able to do it much better because we have no legacy and we have no infrastructure that is old.
Right. If you're just tuning in, we're now in conversation with Muthu Krishnan Ramaswamy, Group Chief Executive Officer at GXS Bank. And Ramu, let's take a look at your regional progress, right? How many markets is GXS Bank in at this point in time? What is the scale of your operations in the various markets? Which is the most important market where financials are concerned?
You know, our primary promoters are Grab and Singtel. And Grab and Singtel together have got licenses in three markets.
Yeah.
So it's Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia. GXS, as the bank in Singapore, also owns the investment in Malaysia. So Malaysia and Singapore, we call them as a group. Whereas in Indonesia, we are still a standalone bank called Superbank. And all these three banks kind of work together in terms of how we design products, how we intend to serve customers, how we use our data. So our ambition over time is these three countries. And once we do well here, then who knows, maybe we'll go further, you know.
Okay. In the meantime, speaking about going further, GXS Bank's Malaysian subsidiary, GX Bank, launched its digital banking app nationwide in Malaysia in December last year. I believe GX Bank was the first to get the green light to start operating in Malaysia as well. What was the rationale behind entering Malaysia? How does your go-to-market strategy differ from Singapore?
So the rationale for entering Malaysia was very similar to that of Singapore, which is Grab and Singtel's counterpart. They have a lot of data about a lot of people, and they have everyday transactions with all of them. And Malaysia also launched the need for, you know, the licensing framework for digital banks. Digital banks are really designed to serve the underserved because the cost of servicing is lower and we can reach a larger number of people. So they licensed five digital banks, but out of the five, we are the first to get to market.
Hmm.
And we've done extremely well in our first 2 months of business. Like I said, we have over 200,000 customers now. We have over 500 million ringgit in deposits. So I think the rate at which we acquire and the rate at which people are interested in leaving their money with us to earn a decent return on their savings is very promising for us.
Hmm. So it's above your targets at this point?
You know, we don't have targets. Like I said, we test and learn, and we are convinced that we have solid position in which we will build our franchise. So we don't really stress ourselves with immediate targets. You know, it's about learning and growing.
Is Indonesia the next on your cards now that you are in Singapore and Malaysia? Because you mentioned that Singtel and Grab are in three markets, right? So Indonesia is next, I suppose?
Yes, Indonesia will launch soon. And, you know, they have, again, they are in what I would call a family and friends launch state now. And they will proceed to launch into the marketplace in the near future.
Right. And, you know, all in, Ramu, what are your financial projections for the year of 2024?
You know, when Grab and Singtel applied for a license in, you know, in Singapore, they committed to a capital of $1.5 billion to be invested in this bank. So we will continue to invest and grow. And the way I see it is that we have four services we will offer over time. Deposits and loans for retail customers, and deposits and operating accounts for small businesses, and investment products which are accessible to all these four sets of customers. So in this year, our ambition is to have all these four things out in the marketplace and learn from each of them. And then the next year and the year after that is when we scale up and grow. So this year, our ambition is to launch all these services, get initial customer feedback, and do the fine-tuning that we need to do so that it becomes a widely distributed and widely adopted product set.
Right. And speaking of investments, capital injections by Grab and Singtel, Grab had in January this year injected 145.1 million Sing dollars into the bank. Both Grab and Singtel in Q3, they are also set to put in a further 229.5 million Sing dollars into GSS Bank. What were the reasons behind the move, and how do you intend then to use the money?
Like I said, as when they set up a digital banking framework, we had applied for that, and then had committed to a capital injection of $1.5 billion over time. And the capital injections are timed such that they are in relationship to our deposits, they are in relation to our loans, they are in relation to our expense base, and also our investment into Malaysia. So all of these go into deciding when and how we inject capital. And therefore, the commitment to inject $1.5 billion remains, and we'll continue to do that as required over time till we meet the full commitment.
Right. And before we let you go, Ramu, what are some future plans for GSS Bank for the year of 2024? What can we look forward to here in Singapore?
Oh, each one of you that's listening must open an account, must, you know, avail of the interest rates that we offer, the ease of transacting that we offer. The great thing about digital banks is that you can open an account, you know, within a few minutes. You can get a yes or a no on a loan within a few minutes, all of which are things that are the power of data and the power of the digital delivery. So I think our ambition is to get every one of you to do that. And that's kind of how I would say we will move forward.
Right. Exciting days ahead for GSS Bank indeed. Thanks a lot, Ramu. That was Muthu Krishnan Ramaswamy, Group Chief Executive Officer at GSS Bank. Thank you very much for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.